The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, I want to talk tonight concerning grasping the nature and activity of demons. Now, that's pretty out front. But I want to show you in the Scripture. We need some Bibles up here. These young ladies, please. We need Bibles. The ushers are going to bring some Bibles. I want to show you in the Scripture that there is a lot in the Word about demons and how to defeat them. Can you hear amen? Y'all believe that? Now, some people get freaked out when they hear teachings like this. They say, oh, you're focusing too much on demons. Well, I'm not. I am tonight. I'm going to focus big time on demons. But I don't teach on this much. You know when the last time I taught this sermon? 9 years ago. 9 years. So I don't think it's too much focus, but in fact, I think it's been way overdue. But I want to talk about the reality of unclean spirits, exactly what the Bible says about them. There's a lot of superstition and social stigma and ideas people get out of who knows where. You know, Hollywood or this or that. But we're going to go right to the Word. And what does the Word say about the nature and activity of unclean spirits? And you know, if you're going to fight and win, you got to know who your enemy is. Can you hear amen? You've got to know. So that's what we're going to teach on. Last week, I taught on the authentic viability of deliverance. We saw the scriptural validity and that a believer can have demons. You can go to tape number 1108, the authentic viability of deliverance ministry, and that clearly goes into how a believer can have demons and the biblical validity of it. I've also many written materials back there. Also, you can go to our website at newwineonline.com, and all this stuff is found there. You can download. It's in the Word, and we try to back it up. I'm not going to cover that tonight. I spent all last week talking about it. So now we're going to go further. We're going to talk about the nature and activity of these things. This might be distasteful, but it's necessary to deal with. First question, what are demons? Look at Luke 11:14. What are demons? I have people ask me that all the time. And I've been in the deliverance ministry. I got into it in 1983. It dawned on me the other day, just about now, it's been 20 years. Just this summer. 20 years I started casting spirits out of people. And I can tell you, in 20 years of being in deliverance, and in the last 17 years, almost 16 and a half years, pastoring a church, that we do many things, discipleship, we do move in deliverance as well, that I've been privileged to minister to many, many folks, many, many hundreds and hundreds of people over all these years. Can't even count them anymore. Every one of them, born again believer, every one of them. Almost all of them, spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers, full of demons. Somebody comes to me and says, can a Christian can have a demon? I look at him and says, well, I've been doing it since for 20 years, casting demons out of Christians. Am I a liar? I did cast a demon. Well, I had one guy come back in the early 80s that wasn't saved. I'll never forget. We thought he was saved, and we cast the demons out of him. It was a big mistake. Because he got walloped and banged up like you wouldn't believe. Because he wasn't saved. He's the only one I ever know. And demons got thrown out. But boy, they backlashed him. But you never want to cast a demon out of someone unless there's a way to keep the demon from coming back in. Can you hear amen? Because we found something, listen carefully. It's the issue of casting out demons is not the big issue. The issue is keeping out demons. Anybody cast a demon out, it's keeping them out. And that's what really the focus of this whole church is. It's discipleship and relationships, accountability, submission, dealing with disciplines in Christian life so that the enemy doesn't want to come back. You're no fun anymore, you know. He can't express himself through your personality anymore. You've shut the door. That's the way you stay free. Luke 11:14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. This is King James. Talking about Jesus, and it came to pass when the devil was gone out. Now, the word devil in King James, the word really speaks of demons, not the devil, diabolos, but the dumb spoke. In other words, this is a deaf and dumb demon. There is a spirit called a deaf and dumb spirit. We've ministered to many people that this affects. It's clearly described in a couple of places. Luke 9, I think Mark 9 too. Jesus casts a deaf and dumb demon out. Affects the throat, affects larynx, affects the operation of the inside. And, you know, these are real things. And when you cast one out, you see someone marvelously and instantly delivered, you believe in it. So he's casting his demon out. Well, some of the people saw him do it, and they said he casts out demons through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempted him, sought him a sign from heaven. You know, later, another place, when Jesus heard that, that made him real mad. And there's other references to this. He one point, he said, look, you can speak any word you want against the Father and against the Son. But he said, don't you go speaking evil of the Holy Spirit. Y'all ever remember that passage? In fact, he said, you are in danger of never receiving forgiveness. Now, people ask me, what is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? There are three references, two or three references, I think it's three references to the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, or the ability, or the time when there is no forgiveness. And every time, people have all these definitions of what it is. I say the best way to find out something is look in the context. You know what I mean? Look right what it says. Every time it's mentioned, it's always related to someone who said Jesus cast out demons by the prince of demons. That's what it is. Don't call it anything but what the word says. When you say somebody casts out devils by the power of the devil, you're in danger of blaspheming the Holy Ghost and in danger of never being forgiven for that sin. Are you hearing me? That's what it says. That means this ministry of casting out demons is so precious to Jesus. He said, you can speak evil of me, you can speak evil of the Father, but don't you speak evil of the Holy Ghost in reference to casting out demons. That's what Jesus said. He another place said, in fact we'll read in a minute, is if I cast out devils, know that the kingdom of God is present. So, he casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, etc. And he, knowing the thoughts, said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, a house divided against a house fails. Verse 18. If Satan is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out devils through Beelzebub. If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Let them be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Y'all might know what Beelzebub means? Lord of the flies. Now, the question is, what are demons? You know, Beelzebub is Lord of the flies. Demons are literally compared, listen carefully, to the insect world. I'm going to tell you something I'm really glad about creation. The most grotesque creatures there are real small. Are you glad for that? You know, when they make a science fiction movie that's scary, all they take is take those little tiny creatures and make them big. A spider coming. They freak you out. Aren't you glad my creation, the real, really weird things with 50 legs and 30 eyes, real small? Aren't you glad? And aren't you glad the big stuff like an elephant, you know? I was thinking the other day, bam, I'm glad it's not the other way around. A little tiny elephant, little tiny horse, and big old roach. So God is merciful to us. Look, if there ever was a God, he kept the weird, grotesque stuff real small and the normal stuff big. But let me tell you something. Demonic spirits are likened under the insect world. If you know anything about the insect world, there are multiple myriad kinds, types, and numbers of demons, of insects. All right? They're incredibly grotesque. They're incredibly grotesque. They're really bad looking. Have you ever got a magnifying look at a spider? Yeah. Things freak me out, man. How about, there's so many insects that are gross. And you know, insects, a lot of times, they'll act different. Like the whole, what a spider does. I mean, it weaves a web and it hides up under a leaf, hoping to snare some poor creature flying, gets stuck, and then it comes out and eats it. Shoots poison and eats it alive. I mean, it's hideous stuff. You don't see camels and horses do that to their prey, okay? Hideous stuff. Insects annoy and they distract. You ever seen a swarm of flies? And you walk into it, you can't, they attack you. They harass you. You know, demons are likened unto the insect world. Now, I've been in deliverance for so long and have seen so many things. I have to sit back, close my eyes, and kind of pull up my computer, remembering that I've seen so many things in the spirit world. I've seen, literally seen, in the natural world angels. I'm here to tell you, I have never seen in the natural world a demon. Praise God. But I have seen in the natural angels more than once. I had an angel actually, well, that's another story. I mean, but demons, praise God, I see them, but it's always in the spirit world. Now, one time I was sitting at my kitchen table when I first got into this, and those things would harass and attack me. I lived alone in this house. And when I first got into it, man, it was like Poltergeist and Exorcist all wrapped in together for about 6 months. They were showing up, blowing out the wind in the house and going, blowing out gas jets, trying to gas me and noises. And you wouldn't believe the stuff over there. Well, one night I was sitting at the breakfast table just praying, and this being sat right next to me, and it had these black elbows that shot right up and these earlobes, and it was sitting there looking at me, and I saw the thing. As soon as I opened my eyes, it was gone. Freaked me out. Jumped from the table. I ran out of the room. I looked around the corner. There's a demon sitting on the chair. I mean, and so over the years, I've learned when I pray for people, and many people here, I'm privileged to be in a body of people that are full of people that know how to cast out demons. How many of y'all have ever cast out a demon? Raise your hand. Now, I'm looking at new whiners who've never cast out a demon. Wait a minute. Raise your hand. Come on, no. You never have ever cast a demon out? You've never cast a demon out? Have you ever, not you, out of you. I mean, have you ever cast a demon out of somebody? Come on. Yeah. Okay, listen. Now listen, new wine people that are committed, if you didn't just raise your hand, I want you to call me, and I want you to say, Pastor, put me down to show up at a deliverance session. I want to learn how to cast out demons. Can I demand? There's no excuse. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall what? Cast out devils. It's a wonderful experience. It's wonderful. Amen? You see, people get free. Come on, man. There's no excuse to be a part of this blind and cast out devils. You got to be willing to say, I'm willing to come on to the prayer. All you do is tell it to go in Jesus' name. Okay, anyway. Over the years, I have seen innumerable demons that look like insects. Spiders, octopuses, what are those, jellyfish? Seen snakes, scorpions. I mean, you wouldn't believe these grotesque little things, big things, monster things, tiny things, whatever. When you're praying and the Spirit opens, you can discern. And you know what? Jesus said, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of what? The enemy. He just gave an example. The serpent, you ever seen a scorpion? It's a hideous looking creature. Or a snake. We have authority over those things. And I love it when I see them. Because whenever I see them, a demon would just soon you never see it. They love to hide. They love to operate unseen. You understand? That's behind a cloak of invisibility. But when the Holy Ghost shines a light, man, a fire comes up in you. I say, that thing shouldn't be there. I feel the rage of the Lord, and I take and cast that thing out. And the anointing comes, and you can throw those things off of people. Can you imagine? That poor Baptist lady I talked to today, here's this woman, 36 years, says she has panic attacks, you know, and freaking out and saying, I heard that you can minister to me and cast these demons out. And I talked to her a while. I said, ma'am, first thing we're going to do is get you filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said to her, I said, ma'am, I can't wait till myself and some others, we can lay our hands and come against that thing. I said, because, ma'am, that's a spirit of fear, and it's going to be off you. And I could feel the power begin to go through the phone. And this woman ain't anywhere ready for prayer yet. So I prayed for her, and I prayed big angels around us so we'd be able to talk some more. Can you hear an amen? I've had conversations like that before, and they never want to talk to me again. Because they go to bed, and something convinces them. They don't ever need to pick the phone up. But, you know, when you begin to, God opens your eyes and you see these things, they are hideous, deformed creatures. And he said, what are demons? Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't really know what they are. I have a theory what they are, a specific theory in the Word. But nothing is concrete. God deliberately didn't give us clear, clear, concrete evidence of what they are. I have some theories, but nothing concrete. And I think there's a reason. You know what it is? He didn't want us to focus on them. I mean, you don't focus on filth. Do y'all open your garbage can and start going through, banana peel, what's this? Ooh, a rotten peach. Do you focus on it? God doesn't want us to focus. It's filth. When Christ came, his attitude was to get the filth out and throw it away. Nothing to do with it, see? So deliberately, there's not a lot of focus on it, but there is. We need to know enough, just enough so we can be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And Scripture give us understanding. We see that they're part of a kingdom. Jesus, doesn't Jesus say here, how shall Satan's kingdom, verse 18? Now, a kingdom has a king. Who's the king? Satan. A fallen angelic being named Lucifer. Satan is apparently the king. But in the demonic realm, there are ranks and orders and positions and tiers and hierarchies and levels and classes. The fallen angels tend to be the higher. The demons tend to be the lower. And I'm going to show you there's a difference between fallen angels and demons. Anyone that says demons are fallen angels, I absolutely do not believe that. I cannot show that by Scripture. I think the fallen angels are the territorial spirits, the spirits that the demons are afraid to go to. When he was going to cast the demons out of the demoniac guy, remember? And the demons besought him, please don't send us out of the land. You know, and they sent him into the pigs because they knew they had to go report to a territorial spirit. Now, those hierarchies, higher level, tend to be higher level created beings of a higher order. The ones that weren't chained in darkness or Tartarus until the end, those were the ones that apparently, I think, progenated the demons and fornicated with the daughters of men in Genesis 6 and created these half-human, these spirit beings that crave human bodies found in Genesis 6 and Jude. Our references to that, throw that out. But why are these beings, disembodied beings, that actually crave to be in bodies? That's not true of angels. Angels do not crave to be in bodies. But these things do. In fact, I'll give you an example. Look at 11:24. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walks through dark places. Is that how your version reads? Is that how it reads? What is the demon doing? Is he what? He's walking? And he says, I want you to keep your finger there. Look at Daniel 9:21. Demons walk, but angels fly. Daniel 9:21. Just turn there real quick. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel. Everybody would agree, if you know the context of Daniel 9, that's the archangel Gabriel. Is that an angel? He said, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to what? Fly swiftly, touched me about. So, for what it's worth, demons are earthbound. They do not fly. In fact, demons seek to and crave to inhabit a body. This says they cast out, they go back. Let's see again, Mark 11, Matthew 11. No, I'm sorry, we're at Luke 11, verse 24. It says, he seeks rest, finding none. I will return to my house. See, demons are at rest in a body. They have to be, they are disembodied spirits, and they have to be in a body to be at rest so they can operate. They need a body to operate. They cannot do anything. Spirits, demons cast out, are ineffective. They have to inhabit something that they've been invited in to manifest their personalities. Look at Mark 5, 9. Mark chapter 5. Verse 9, and he asked the demon, what is your name? And the demon said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. Y'all know this verse. And all the devils besought him, said, send us into the swine, that we can enter them. Now listen, demons hate dry places. They hate to be disembodied. They said, look, we just soon go in a pig than be disembodied. Because apparently, and I've known this to be true in deliverance sessions, that when you cast a demon out, they beg you, man. They don't want to go out. I mean, they will beg and please, curse, everything to keep them going. They hate going out. Because when they go out, they have to go report to their superiors. And there's no mercy in the kingdom of darkness. The higher level spirits punish them. They punish them. I don't know what they do, but those demons are scared to death. And they really don't want to be sent to the deep. And they even said that. Oh, you come to send us to the deep before the time. They know their ultimate end is the deep, is Hades, is hell, and ultimate lake of fire. Man, they don't want to go there. I mean, they've been there, and anybody, you know, you tell somebody, look, even the demons are freaked out by going to hell. Somebody says, well, I'm partying hell, man. Me and my buddies are going to party. Dude, the demons don't even want to go there, man. You don't want to go to hell. I want to tell you tonight that unclean spirits, listen carefully, demons are disembodied spirits, but they need bodies to express their personalities. A blasphemous spirit needs a tongue. A fear spirit needs emotions. Right? A lust spirit needs eyes and sexual organs. Listen, demons, I want you to hear this carefully, demons are persons without bodies. And I'm going to prove that in just a minute. They are persons. In other words, they have personality. Every demon has a unique personality. Did you know animals have personalities? Every animal has a unique personality. If you ever had a dog or a cat, they're not little clones. You can have two little kittens out of a litter, just two little kittens. And they grow up, you know, one of them just has this real personality that does this. Another one is totally different. That's the way God made creation. Amen? Kids are like that. I mean, every created thing, I actually believe that everything has personalities. Every created thing. I happen to believe that. If God created it, all the way down to insects, I happen to believe if God created, there's some kind of personality in the order of the creation of that level. Because I don't think anything's a clone. It was created by a God of ultimate personality. Can you hear me, man? So demons have personalities. And they're disembodied spirits with individual personalities. Now, you have to realize this to know how to deal with them. When you're cast on a demon, you have to know it's not just come on some kind of a fuzz thing. It's a real thing. A real person. Think of it like a person inside of a person. When I'm casting a demon, I think there is something, a person in this person. And you need to go. And Jesus, I talk to them like a person. Christ talked to them like a person. Christ addressed them as a person. He understood. They were people. He bound them. He commanded them to be muzzled. He forbade them. He conversed with them because he knew they were people, disembodied persons. Jesus treated them as persons. Listen, spoke of them as persons and spoke to them as persons. Now, let's look at the characteristics that make up a personality and see if they apply. There are five characteristics that make up a personality. You ready? They have a will. They have emotions. They have knowledge. A person has self-awareness and the ability to speak. I'm going to show you all of that's true with a demon. Look at Luke 11:24. Go right back where we were. First, the characteristics that make up a personality. Have it on the overhead. Can you all read that? Or dark? Characteristics. The first is a will. Unclean spirits have a will. Look at Luke 11:24. It says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none, and he says, what? I will, what? Return to my house. In other words, I have a will. I will return. It's not their will to leave. Verse 10 to 12. Forget where, not that chapter, verse 10 to 12, somewhere. I don't know where I have that. Demons have stubborn and strong wills. How many of y'all have stubborn and strong wills? Well, you're a demon. No, I'm kidding. You act like a demon. Come on. Come on, stubborn, strong wills. Amen? Be ye not as a horse or the mule, the psalmist said. So, do you understand that demons have wills? Do you believe they have wills? Oh, yes. I've cast them out. Their will is to resist you. They also have emotions. Look at James 2:19. Chapter James, at the end of the near book of Revelation, in the end, James chapter 2. Now, we're talking about the characteristics of a person and that demons are persons. James 2:19. He says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Demons have emotions. He says, the devils, the demons, believe and what? Tremble. Now, the Greek there is friso. It means to bristle or chill. I mean, they freak out when they think about God. You know what a fun thing to do? Sometimes we have fun in deliverance. When you get one of them talking ones, you know, I mean, they're just whining and begging and torturing and tormenting. That's what they do well. And you just start talking to it about the cross. And I have done this. I mean, they don't want to come out. I just begin to describe the cross. I was in a deliverance session once, and this demon, we've been fighting with it, and it wouldn't come out. So I began to describe to this creature, this embodied person inside of a person. I said, let me tell you something about why you have to come out. And I said, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God was thrown on the ground. And they took his feet and they jabbed nails. And I went, bam, into his feet. And they jabbed nails into his left hand. Bam, into his right hand. Bam, like that. And the demon's going like this. I said, and guess what? Whenever the nail went into his skin, blood spurted out. I said, it was the blood of Jesus spurted out of his body. And you could see, it was amazing. And as I described the cross and the thorns, Christ and the blood spurted out, just kept talking about the blood of Jesus. And finally the soldier ran a spear in his side and blood spurted, and the demon went, ah, enough. I'm serious, went, enough, enough. I thought, oh, I'm getting your attention. So then we begin to sing. You know what we sang? Oh, the blood. And that thing began to scream, shut up! Because that made it go louder and louder. Guess what? It left. Can I hear an amen? That person had had that demon in him for years. It was a privilege to be involved in that deliverance. Amen? They have emotions. They often manifest intense emotions, particularly the thought of leaving. I remember a demon once begging me to not leave. There was a spirit once when I first saw this. He came, it was real wily, kind of oily spirit. And he was saying, it was telling me through this person. Remember this guy had been a homosexual and he was trying to follow the Lord. And the homosexual pulled me back. And I'd been in deliverance about 2 years. And it was just beginning to get known in the sense of persecuted, misunderstood, and judged. Losing friends and stuff. And, you know, that's how you get known in this ministry. You get known in the spirit world, but pretty much misunderstood in the natural. And this thing began through this person tell me about all the things that my ministry could be and do. It was just saying things like, oh, man. Yeah. At first, I thought it was the guy talking to me. You know, I got tripped up. Because he said, you know... You were such a gifted man. He began to flatter me, and I was getting on. I'm in the middle of a deliverance session, and God can use you, you know. And it was getting me going there until it began to say, but you know, this deliverance thing, it's just missing. You really don't need to be so fanatical about it. And right then I went, whoa, hello, what am I talking to? That thing, it was trying to seduce me into backing off from this thing. So anyway, we ended up having a real good... So once I snapped, I went, wow, wait a minute. Hello. What a bunch of antichrist pride gaga got in my head. I had to repent and ask Jesus to forgive me for pride, junk, flattery. Flattery in Jesus' name. So we could cast that demon out. By the way, flattery is dangerous. When anybody comes and flatters you... My mother used to say, flattery feeds with an empty spoon. It's the Bible says the flattering tongue spreads a net for the feet. It's just very, very dangerous. And there was a guy once came to the church, and I remember he sat in my office and he just went, oh, you're so anointed, brother. And he brought this little thing, that little picture of a dove, and just went on. And I remember this was early on. I went, well, praise God. It's anointing. You know, some of us have it. You know, I mean, this crap got all over me. Bunch of pride demon. And it got inside of me. I'm serious. And, oh, God, how sickening. Do you know that guy ended up blatantly betraying me? I mean, he was a Judas, that fella. That glowing flatterer was a Judas. Oh, it wounded me. It was a terrible thing, the way he betrayed me. But I learned. How many of y'all have been seduced by a flatterer? Huh? Seducing tongue? How many of y'all believe demons can speak through people? That's who they speak through mostly, huh? How many of y'all has a demon ever spoke through you? Oh, some of y'all aren't raising your hand. Are you better than Peter? Guess what? Guess what Jesus called Peter one day? Satan! Right? Come on. When you get up to the pearly gates, he's sitting there, you know, you don't want to... All right, I don't know. That's not exactly true, but that's kind of the popular idea. You know, it's in your emotions that demons wreak most havoc. It's in the emotional realm. They get stirred it up and distort and accentuate and limit your emotions. So you have to expel demons from the feeling realm. I want to tell you something right now. If you are really serious about learning about deliverance, I'm going to recommend something. It's the Bible that I got a hold of in the early days, 20 years ago. It's a book called War on the Saints. Now listen carefully. War on the Saints, the unabridged version. Don't get the abridged. It's been gutted. The unabridged version of War on the Saints. Now we happen to have it on our website. The entire book is on our site. You can access it. War on the Saints, unabridged. Particularly if you want to go for the gold, go to chapter 8, 10, and 11. That's the gold. It's a good book, written in the 1920s. It is the greatest exposition of demonology ever written. And it gives you an understanding how the demonic spirits come out gradually as you resist them in your soul. And you have to recognize the ground they have because of believing lies or believing accepting sin. And as you embrace holiness and resist them steadfastly, they ultimately totally leave. It's a process. I learned all of that in War on the Saints, chapter 8, 10 and 11 of the gold chapters, or I think it's 8, 11, and 12. I think it's 8, 10, and 11, really. And that's where I got the foundational understanding of demonology 20 years ago. I recommend that because it explains how to get demons out of your emotions. The next is knowledge. This is in Mark 1:23. A person not only has will and emotions, they have knowledge. Do demons have knowledge? Mark 1:23 says, turn there quickly, and there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and the demon said, let us alone. What have we to do with you, you Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art. They knew who he was. They have knowledge. They can know many things. I actually had a demon once. And you know they're liars. But there was this demon that was telling us that he'd been there at the cross. That he'd been there. He was saying, I was there. This was some woman that had been in the occult. Well, you get some people that have been in the occult, you get some serious demons. And he was saying, I was there. And as he talked, he began to howl. It was just like there was a book written, I think it's Paralandra by C.S. Lewis. The Unmanned Ready. And do you remember the scene where he began to howl when he finally said, Lama, Lama, Sabachthani, what Jesus said on the cross? And the demon howled. I actually saw that. As this thing was talking about, it began to howl in horror. And I went, I don't know whether it's true or not, but I was feeling that that thing had seen something, scared it. Scared the Hades out of it. Now, I don't know if it was true, but boy, my faith went up to the moon, man. Whoa. The cross was real. Did you know that? Demons understand something most people don't. The power of the cross and the power of the blood. I mean, people don't understand. See, demons are terrified when you are forgiven and understand who you are. And it's not, by the way, people pop the charismatic thing, well, I plead the blood. Plead, you ever heard that phrase? Folks, it's not in the Word. There's nothing in the Word about pleading the blood. Now, forgive me if I'm stepping or kicking a sacred cow here. But it doesn't say plead the blood. It says you overcome him by the blood. So I don't plead the blood. That's kind of like, I plead the blood. Stay away. I plead the blood. The blood. I mean, that's what it kind of pictures to me. Like, back, demon. The blood. The blood. Well, give me a break. Like you're running from the thing. You say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I overcome you by the blood. Can you imagine that? That's the scripture. Praise God. So, Acts 19:5, a demon came up and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I'm acquainted with, but who are you? And ripped these people up. That's the Greek. He knew who Jesus was. They even knew who Paul was. By the way, if you cast demons out, you start making a big deal of it, you get known in the spirit world. Demons go down to the, you know, the bar and the dry places, have dry martinis or something. They're hanging out, chatting. And they, you know, and they're chatting. They say, well, all I know is, man, just stay away from... You know, stay away from that Bo and Jean's house. They over there the other day, I was flying out. I just heard another of my friends just flying out of the house and cast one out. I mean, word gets out when you cast demons out. Did you know that? That's Acts 19:5. Look it up. They were acquainted with Paul. His word was out. The word was out. They knew. I've always believed that when you do this, a lot of preachers out there in ministries are out to be well known. And if you don't believe me, pick up the Charisma magazine. You know, well-known, great preachers, great conferences, travel all kind of places so that the saints will come and pay big bucks to, so they can minister about humility and poverty. I don't know. Whatever it is. But you know what? I think if the Apostle Paul was here today, the Apostle Paul that wrote the Bible, he would just be scorning all that. He delighted in being well-known, but in a different sense. He delighted being well-known in the spirit world. The demons knew him. He didn't care what people thought. He said, they treat me as the off-scarring of all things today. He says, we the apostles are really last and least. You know, and I saw that years ago, and I thought, told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't care what else you do in life, but don't let my ministry ever be terribly well-known or popular in the natural, but let it be incredibly well-known in the spiritual. Well, he's been faithful on the first. Can you hear me? He's been faithful no matter what we do. So I'm hoping he's faithful on the second. Amen? Praise God. All right. Self-awareness. Another thing that makes up a person is you know who you are. You're self-aware. Well, are demons self-aware? Look at, we just saw that. Remember, Mark 5:9, where he asked the demon, what's the name? He says, my name is Legion, for we are many. What does that speak of? He knew who he was, self-aware. The demon ruler knows the size and nature of a stronghold. You see, there's something about strongholds. I have another sermon I'm going to be doing in a few weeks called Binding the Straw Man. I'll go into that on how that works. But usually it's the first one in and the last one out. It's the demon that came in and set up the house. And you got to usually get a hold of him, and he manipulates the other demons. So they very much a demon, a straw man. Usually when I got a straw man up, I say, well, what's your name? What is your name? Who's under you? Murder! How'd you get in there? Come on. Lord, send an angel, stick it. Abortion. Okay. Come out. Cast the murder out. Who's that? Jealousy. Can we find a scripture? Come out, jealousy. How'd you get in there? Then sure enough, something happened. It's always, there was a doorway that opened them up, you know? Maybe when that girl was a teenager, she stole a boyfriend of a, you know, it could have been some sin somewhere. They opened the door. So we find the usual person who confesses the sin, and the demon, we cast it out. So then there's peace and quiet. You think the session's over, all of a sudden there's wrong. What's that? Come on. Tell us your name. What's your name? Rage. Ah, Mr. Rage. Who are you in there with? Anger, hate, murder, rage. Oh, you have to cast them out. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Years ago, I was in deliverance. When I first got in deliverance, the Lord gave me a vision of how to minister deliverance. And the vision was of a pack of cert breath mints. No, it was a pack of cert breath mints. But it was a little like a lifesaver pack. That was the vision. And I always get these crazy visions. I said, Lord, what does that mean? And the thing the Holy Spirit showed me, he said, well, when you open up a search, you take the top one out, and then you take the next one, and then you take the next one, and then you take the next one. He said, it's the same way with deliverance. You need to pull this one out before you get to this one. Then you pull this one out, that's when you get to this one. Pull that out, my best thing, get to that one. They're in layers. And you need to know, you need to be guided by the Holy Spirit how to undo the works of the devil in a person's life. Can you hear that? Usually the strong man is the first one in, the last one out. He's kicking out the lower spirits before you finally get to him. By the way, if you don't get the strong man out, he has a way of pulling them all back in. Unless that person really walks a disciplined life. We saw a perfect type of that in Gulf War I and Gulf War II. Perfect type. Gulf War I, I was preaching all the way through Gulf War I. When we, Desert Shield and the Desert Storm, we went in and we basically did deliverance. We thrust him out of Kuwait. We kept him from coming into Saudi Arabia. But guess what we didn't do? We didn't take out the strong man. So we bound him up. We had flyovers. Well, after a few years, you know, the whole world began to get lax. The UN began to get really fuzzy. Remember back, some of y'all remember back in the end of Gulf War, the UN was going to stand firm. It was a joke by Gulf War II. The UN just, You know, it was a joke. Debbie finally just said, heck with it, I'm going to do it myself. This is such a farce. So we went in, golf 4-2. What do? We finally did what? We kicked him out. Oh, he isn't dead yet, but guess what? He's gone. Might as well be. We finally got the strong man out. It's a perfect type. If you don't get him out, what happens? You got to go back what? Did you know there's a scripture that says that? Totally says. This is incredible. Lord, help me find it. It's right here. Listen. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great anger will suffer punishment. For if you deliver him, you have to do it again. Proverbs 19:19. Sometimes you got to go in, and when you finally get the... It's just like a splinter. You get a splinter in your hand, you can put all the salve you want, but if you don't get the splinter out, what? It's going to keep festering. Keep festering. Keep infecting. Got to get it out. What's another area? Demons that is a characteristic of makes a person, the ability to speak. We've seen that. They spoke. They spoke to Jesus. They called him legion, so we know who you are. You know, usually demons don't speak. In fact, I'm at the point now after all these years, I don't really care about the stupid things, the filth, it's just empty the garbage, just be gone. I don't want to hear what you have to say. You know, when you do this long enough, your discernment gets sharp. Your discernment gets, you do it long, like anything. Anything you do long enough, you get good at it. Can you understand, man? How many of y'all play golf? How many of y'all cut the lawn? Are you good at cutting the lawn? Washing dishes? Come on, anything you could do, your job. How many of y'all have a job that when you first started it was difficult? It's your job. But now it's piece cake. Right? Whereas if you saw the first day what you're doing now, you say, there's no way I could do that. But over the years you got good at it. Same thing with spiritual warfare and casting out demons and praying for the sick. You get to where discernment is just a tool. And you just get where, I just want the things out. I don't care. I love casting demons out. So I don't really care where they talk, but once in a while, I like to force them to speak so we can find out what's going on. And the thing that casts demons out really is the gut level. It's not a head. You need the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Can you understand? It's the anointing. It's the Holy Ghost. And every time I start a deliverance session, we start out singing in tongues. And we just wait. I've been in session. We just, first 10 minutes, we just sing in tongues. Maybe 5 minutes, we just still. Not a word. Just quiet. And then we sense Jesus walk in by the Holy Ghost. We say, okay, now we can have a party. Jesus is here, we can cast out demons. Come on, man. Demons hate that. They just assume you go right in and start praying. No. That's just me. You really don't want me praying for you. Let's just get still and let Jesus come in. Whoa, that's where the power is. Come on, man. Without a doubt, would you agree with me that these attributes that I've listed compel us to classify unclean spirits as disembodied persons? Would you agree tonight? Okay, now, let's look at one more thing. Let's consider the main activities. You ready? The main activities, because the teaching is the characteristics and activities of demons. The first one is to entice. Look at James 1:13. The nature and activities of demons. James 1:13. Let no man say when he's tempted of God, when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin when it is finished brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now let me tell you how it works. Okay? You can never say the devil made me do something. It is never the devil's. We have a free will. And Satan has ground in people's lives because of sin. You can't ever say the demon forced me to do it. No, I'm sorry. It's never the case. And here's a way to look at it. Demons live in the flesh and manifest through the flesh when we yield to the flesh. I'm going to say that again. Demons live in the flesh, but they manifest through the flesh when you yield to the flesh. When you yield to some act of sin, whether it's anger, sin anger, your man says be angry and sin not, when you yield to sin anger that's controlling, or rage. And it's interesting, there's a spirit outside tempting and there's a spirit inside enticing. That's why he says here, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So there's another verse in 1 Thessalonians 3:5, where it says Satan is an a tempter. So what Satan does is he tempts humans to do wrong through inner voices and urges and drives by making evil alluring or attractive or desirable or excusable. Whatever he can do to get a believer to cross the line and do something they know is wrong. He that does wrong and knows it's sin, to him that... How's that read? Knows that you get and does it, is, to him it is sin. As soon as you cross the line, you've opened the door to the devil, and that's where the enemy begin to flow through you. And once you give ground to something, you give ground to the enemy, he can come and get a hold of you the more you do it. So the point I want to make is the enemy is an enticer. He operates from ground. The enemy operates from ground. Jesus said in a lot of verses of John 14, the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. Just hold your Bible in your hand. Stand up. Right where you are. Just stand up. I want everybody to stand up. You know, right about now, in a teaching like this, the enemy's starting to come in. He's starting to just... You're getting tired. You know what? The enemy doesn't want you to hear this truth. Now, Lord, I pray in your mercy that you would make us of a sharp and ready mind as I finish and wind up this teaching. Lord, that this word would go deep in our spirits. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Come. Lord, don't let the enemy or our flesh blind us from truth that will set us free. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit in this room. I take your power and I command you to leave now. Bind you in the spirit world. Go. Take your power. Go, slumber, heaviness. Take a confusion. Go. Hand of the Lord. Fear. Go. Everybody take a deep breath. Go. In Jesus' name. Now, let's have a seat. We're going to wind this up. You always have to do that. The enemy doesn't want you hearing this. You know what ground is? It's a ground. The problem is, when you got flies around the trash can, what is the problem? What does it indicate? It indicates... Flies, it means you had to empty the garbage. When you have roaches all over your counter, what does that indicate? Your kids were out there with cookies and didn't clean up the crumbs. You know what I mean? So the problem is not the roaches or the flies. The problem is what? The garbage and the crumbs. Demons are like roaches and flies. The problem is not demons. The problem is sin. You know what I mean? The problem is the heart. If you don't deal with the sin, you can cast demons all day long. They just do a U-turn. Remember that? What's that thing in Australia where you throw it and it comes... Yeah, like boomerang. They even say they go and they come back and they bring seven worse. I've gotten to the point I won't pray deliverance for people unless I know they're going to stay out. I mean, people come in wanting deliverance all the time. They hear about our ministry and we make them jump through hoops. Well, who's your pastor? Well, Ed Young. Well, Ed Young's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's a good Baptist guy. So when's the last time you had him pray for you? Did you counsel with him? Is he, you know, ministering to you personally? Well, I never met him. Well, okay, and that's unfortunate because he's a good guy. I wish you could meet him. But he's not your pastor. Are you hearing me? He's a good guy and a good preacher. So is Joel Osteen. He's a good guy, but he's not your pastor. What is a pastor? You know what a pastor is? A shepherd. And the Bible says a shepherd knows his sheep and calls them why what? By name. And if one wanders, it says he leaves the 99 to find the one that lost. Now you show me a pastor, a shepherd, a true pastor that's shepherding his sheep. Then one of them wanders off, he's aware of it. He knows it by name. I tell people, if you're a born-again believer and you're in a church and they don't, and the pastor doesn't know you by name, and if you don't quit coming and he or somebody doesn't run after you and say, let's pray for you, what's your problem, then you ain't in a good flock. You're in a flock with a shepherd. Jesus talked about these in John 10. He's a shepherd that runs away when the wolf comes. And the wolf comes and devours the sheep. Can I hear an amen? The first thing I tell people is, you need to get you in a church. Some church where you got a pastor who knows your name and enough people, either he or somebody, cares enough for you to call you when you get caught up and the wolf's dragging you out. Boy, that's unpopular preaching. Well, okay, I'll go to one of those churches, but I still want to go to my big church. Okay, fine. Go for it. But you're totally out of order. It's not God's order to have two pastors. You know what I mean? You don't grow up in big churches, folks. Big church is a phenomena of the 20th century, and it produces shallow Christians. Oh, they're good for bringing people out of the dead denominations, praise God. But they need to siphon into small, intimate families where they become part of a family, like Ephesians 4. They're under the authority of pastors and elders, and they become a functioning member of a body. And they learn how to love and be loved, give, serve, be corrected, be approved. Can I hear an amen? That's the condition for deliverance. Cast demons out of somebody. They go off to these big churches, or they go to some churches that don't even believe Christians can have demons. They're going to be twice as demonized within 6 months. You know, the demons know exactly what kind of cheese you like. Huh? Some of you like Swiss. Some of you are into Limburger, I don't know. Or American. See, the devil knows your cheese. What one person's deal is not another. He knows yours. He pulls it up in a database. Ah, I know this one. This particular thing gets them every time. Hey, you want to know how to really mess with the devil's mind? I mean, this works every time. This really messes with the powers of darkness, really messes up the kingdom of darkness and advances the kingdom of God. You know what it is? When that old temptation that hits you, that easily besetting sin that comes around every other day or once a week or once a month or every 3 hours or whenever it is, that easily besetting sin comes up and you just kind of like, you just yield to it. Every time, no, for that second thought, you just yield to your sin, whatever it is, gluttony, lust, anger, rebellion, whatever it is, whatever. For once, say no! 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 And the demon's going to go, what do you mean no? No! You don't mean no. Come on. No! The Bible says, submit yourself to God. What? He'll flee. You mess with their minds. Because there you know, this. What is wrong with my cheese, man? This always works. Oh, they listen to that preacher again about spiritual warfare. They go into that church or one of them churches. Eh? They're getting knowledge. They're getting understanding and revelation and wisdom in the spirit realm how to fight and resist and take ground back from the enemy stole. And it happens right where the rubber meets the road, right at the point of your sin. That's where your victory is wrought. You can do spiritual warfare and warfare dances and go to conferences and cast out demons and all this stuff. Yeah, none of that means anything to the moment of temptation. You know what it's a type of? You can go to college and study. You can cram. You can memorize all day long. But if you don't show up for the exam, guess what? You don't pass. What is the exam? It's the moment where you can either flunk or be promoted. You know what temptations are? Exams. That's all they are. When you pass them, you get promoted. Okay, what's another area? To deceive, entice. This is the activities of the devil. 1 Timothy 4:1. Come on, stay with me. Just two or three more. We're going to be done. To deceive. Now the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Did y'all know there was this much in the Bible about demons? We're not touching on it. There's so much more. He says that a lot of times they'll be seduced by the doctrines of demons. And he goes gives some examples. Folks, most of what's taught in American Christianity is doctrines of demons. Hello, seducing spirits. It's a farce. Why? Look at the, where's the fruit? You know them by what? The fruit. Look, churches are dead. Where's the power? Where's the power of the book of Acts? Why do we not see the power? Because people are taught doctrines of demons. Satan has come into the church in so many ways. The charismatic church is just a hollow shell of what it once was. It's been hollowed out by the occult teaching of word faith. You know, deception is believing a lie to be truth or believing truth to be a lie. And you know, as those strongholds can't be cast out, they've got to be truthed out. Truths, I mean lies, like small lies. Jesus isn't the only way. You know, Jesus is the only way. Did you realize if someone doesn't know Jesus and they're not forgiven and washed by the blood of the Lamb, they're going to hell. Period. There's no other understanding of the word. Period. If you don't have the blood of Jesus on your spirit, you go to hell. When you die, the demons come and take you to hell forever. That's the truth. That's what the word says. But something in us wants to go, but that's not a God of love. No. That's the truth. Jesus said, I'm the only way, and every other way, thieves and robbers. There's no way but the Father but me. And it makes sense, because when you, the only thing that keeps you and allows you to go into heaven, because we're all filthy. Our righteousness is filthy rags. We all stood before, none of us can get in. None of us. The only way you can get in, and by the way, if you can't get in heaven, guess where you go? There is no purgatory. Sorry. If you're standing at the gates, the only way you can get into heaven is one way. You got to show the calling card of the blood of the Lamb. I can come in because of what Jesus did. Come on in. That's it. I don't care who you believe to worship. And I'm telling you, this is so seductive. People somehow compromise on it. That's a doctrine of the devil. It's a lying spirit. There's no second chance after you die. For it's appointed men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen? Boy, you get a glimpse of hell. Put the fear of the Lord in people. Get them saved. The gifts were for them. They got Holy Ghost gifts for them. Doctrine of the devil. People go to these big dispensational churches. I say they're good people. They love the Lord, but they preach a doctrine of the devil because they don't believe in speaking in tongues. And they don't believe in casting out demons. It's a doctrine of the devil. It's a seducing spirit. Look at the fruit. A woman I said talked to today. Big, large, dispensational church. 36 years, 65 years old, tormented every day for 36 years. And I talked to her today because she talked to Frank Hammond because she remembered the book Pigs in the Parlor. And she found him on the web somewhere. And I said, ma'am, you don't have to have this panic attack. She says, I still am not sure of a secure to my salvation. I said, ma'am, you've known him all these years. She says, you're right. I said, it's a demon. You need deliverance. You need the Holy Ghost. Christians can't be demonized. I'll never overcome. Everyone's against me. I'm better than so-and-so. New Age philosophy, thoughts, belief, the word faith teaching, all of this. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's deception. The third way, let's draw this to a close. Another way that activity of demon is to enslave. You know what? People say to me sometimes, you're pretty narrow. You say all this stuff. Look, I'm going to tell you, the majority of believers in America are tremendously demonized. That's not true in the third world. But in our country, the majority of the church is demonized. The majority of churches are demonized. The spirit of Antichrist rules in our churches. You know, look at the perverted paganism of the homosexuality taking over all the denominations. Homosexuality is rampant. I'm preaching on this every week. It's rampant. Like a tidal wave coming across our culture. It's everywhere in the comics. I read a comic strip today. I've been reading this comic strip for better or worse. I've been reading it for like 15 years. And just writing this little comic strip I read, just homosexual. It's written by a woman in Canada. And just yesterday, they were at a wedding in the comic strip. She says, the man says, well, you know, I can marry my lover now. I said, my God, it's even in the comics. It's everywhere. But it's in the churches. The average charismatic church, unless you move in deliverance from the balanced teaching of the word, under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the authority of all apostolic authority and humility, it's really difficult to stay the straight and narrow as the Antichrist demons move across the country. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a remnant. The Lord's quickened to me. There is not a church in the land that names the name of Christ that there isn't somebody in there that loves Jesus and a remnant. Do y'all believe that? I really believe the testimony is every one of those has a remnant. Even those horrible churches are just really getting perverted, twisted. I'm convinced somewhere in that church there's somebody that loves Jesus. Amen? All of them. And one day, He's going to separate the tares from the wheat. Praise God. So thank the Lord for every church that names the name of Christ. It just grieves me to see so many people tormented and lied to. Another area is Romans 8:15. Another thing the demons do is enslave. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. It's bondage, slavery. Jesus said in John 8:34, he that commits sin is a slave of sin. Demons seek to ever tighten your chain. Look, a demon wants to make you a slave long after the pleasures are gone. You're enslaved when you have no will left in an addiction or compulsion or an abnormality or an attitude or a lust. Listen to the devil's ultimate goal. You ready? To have you suffering the utmost for your sin while not enjoying it in the least. That's what he wants. To have you suffering the utmost for your sin with no enjoyment. That's what a drug addict is. You ever see a drug addict? They're miserable, tormented, tortured beings. They suffer, but they're trying to do more and more drugs to get some kind of little high that they once knew. They got more and more. But you know what? Drug addicts, it's the same thing's true in any sin. And that's the devil's purpose, is to enslave. The next one is 1 John 4:18, to torment. These are the activities of demons. Nice guys. 1 John 4:18. In fact, this is the last place we're going to look. Last place. 1 John 4:18. Turn there. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has what? In fact, you know what is one of the most tormenting ways demons torment people? I tell you, it's in Matthew 18, where he said about the man who was forgiven a great debt and wouldn't forgive his friend. Remember that story? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay what was due. Jesus said, so shall my Father do to you if you from your hearts don't forgive everyone. Jesus literally said, if you do not forgive everybody their trespass against you, you will be delivered to the tormentors. Read it, Matthew 18. Who are the tormentors? The demons. God will lift his hand and allow Satan to move in. Give no place to the devil. But you know, Satan beseeched. Satan came to Jesus and beseeched him for Peter. You say, how do you say that? Because in Luke 22, he says, Simon, Simon, Satan hath begged to sift you as wheat. The Greek reads, Satan has earnestly begged to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that when you recover, you'll strengthen your brethren. Satan apparently came to Jesus. He said, I see something in Peter. It's mine. You say, what did he see? He saw an arrogant pride. When Jesus said, one of you will betray me. And Peter said, though all forsake you, not me. And he said that in front of the other guys. And Peter and Satan said, whoa, that's mine. An arrogant pride. And he said in front of the other guy, I would never. And Lord, was he set up. Right? So he not only fell, he fell three times. And it's, you know, have you ever really, really blown it? How would you like it written in the scripture? So for thousands of years, they'll recount your name and the way you blew it as an example. How would you like that, huh? How about David? Committed adultery and killed the woman's husband. You know, to hide it. That's bad enough, but to have it written in Scripture. You know, that speaks of the grace of God. Can you know what I mean? David's probably up in heaven saying, go ahead, read it. Cool. Read it. Peter's saying, go for it. You know why? They know they're forgiven. Amen? And they know with the grace of God, everybody do the same thing. Now, let me read you an excerpt from the book, War and the Saints. I'm going to read you this passage. Got this off the website, our website. I want to show you there are tormentors. Listen to this carefully. This is a wonderful passage that illustrates this. They're evil. The undeceived and dispossessed believer must become intensely practical. He finds that God is practical, the devil is practical, and man must be practical to join with one against the other. The believer sees that one of the ways in which the Son of God destroys the work of the devil is through the mighty instrumentality of prayer, and that he must live a prayer life, since prayer is the mightiest weapon against the foe. Through his undeceiving, the undeceived believer has been made conscious of the actual force which the powers of darkness bring to bear upon his own tripartite being, spirit, soul, and body, and thus learns that all of the strength of his redeemed, renewed, and liberated powers, mental, spiritual, and physical, must be set against the demons in order that he may be free. In the experience he's gone through, he's become more and more conscious of his own human spirit and the need of using it in strength and purity and power against spirits. He's discovered that in the perpetual war which the deceiving spirits wage against him, neither time, place, or season are exempt from their attacks.
Therefore, wherever he is, whatever he does, whatever state he is in, he must wage equally persistent war upon them. If he finds himself in keen suffering and anguish, he knows it is the hour and power of darkness, and learns by the suffering that demons cause that they are unmerciful as well as evil, intensely evil, nothing but evil, aimed at nothing but evil, and with all the power they're able to wield, endeavoring to draw him into evil, doggedly, silently, persistently, wickedly, always at work, actuated by undying hatred and malice against the human race. Enemies they are and will be, and what they are they were, and what they were they are still, evil and only evil. Thus the believer learns and knows he must resist them, and the fight to keep his spirit strong, pure, and buoyant for victory over them needs all the force of his being and the power of the Lord to enable him to be victorious. In the discovery of the wickedness and hatred of the supernatural powers of evil against him, the believer learns he's not fighting against the intelligence of one supernatural being, but against all the principalities and powers with vast resources at their command, and that if he stands victorious against their wiles, he's conquered not only one evil spirit, but all hell. He finds that the powers of darkness will not allow one single believer to be victor over them until they as a whole have failed to conquer them. Did you hear that? They will not allow one believer to be victor over them until all hell tries its hand at it. For one believer to stand firm against the powers of darkness rattles hell. Look at the book of Job. Look at Job. God said, whoa, Satan, there's one. Oh, no way. I've got him. He's my... Nope. There's, look, the veil is pulled back in place of the Scripture. We understand what goes on in the spirit world. Hence their onslaught of him who elects to be victorious over them all in vital union with the victor Lord, who put them to open shame through his death on the cross of Calvary. In conclusion, the believer is called to triumph over all the powers of darkness. But to reach that goal, he must put on all the whole armor of God and lay hold of divine strength, truth, righteousness, peace, faith, the mighty word and sword of the Scriptures, watchfulness and prayer. This armor and the weapons belonging to it will enable him to, having done all, to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now listen, if he stands, all heaven sees it. If he's defeated, all hell knows it. If he triumphs, the hosts of darkness are not only conquered but discouraged and rendered less effective in their schemes. The believers who would overcome such a disciplined and pernicious foe will never dare put his armor by or give himself to careless work, for he finds that the foe is tenacious and desirous to conquer him as he himself is them. But he who fully knows the foe and the warfare and its eternal issues finds his joy in the joy of war against an enemy devastating the earth, and the joy of victory as a foretaste of the future triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ over all his foes. The bottom line is, demons, Satan hates God. And the way he can't get God, but he goes after his creation. He hates you. But to the degree he hates you, God loves you. And greater. It is wise to understand your enemy. Amen? It is wise to have wisdom. Be as, he says, be as wise as the serpent. At least match him in wisdom and harmless as a dove. To sum up the nature and activity, an overview. Demonic spirits try to prevent harmony. Just can't read that. Of the spirit, soul, and body, where you can't totally relax. I want you to hear this today. In conclusion, what the enemy tries to do is create disharmony where you can't ever really relax. They seek to attack your peace in every sphere. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The enemy seeks to rob you of your peace. They rob your physical well-being, the sources of much disease, misery, torture, emotion, and physical sickness. And they seek to prevent and attack harmonious relationships. Satan is always seeking to drive a wedge between you and your brother, where you can rationalize and justify and blame and make excuse and become bitter and resentful and gossip. All of that is of the devil. Where Christ called us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And finally, fights against one adjusting to circumstances keep you.
And then there's finally, in conclusion, this major distinctive march of the presence of the demonic. There is one word. Now listen carefully. This one word that I'm going to show you sums up more than any other word in the English language the presence of the demonic in your life. You know what it is? Restlessness. Jesus said, I came to give you peace. Not as the world gives what? Give I unto you. Let not your heart be, neither let it be afraid. The major distinctive mark, listen, of demonization is restlessness. Remember, the demon is restless. He goes, when he's cast out, seeking rest, what? And finding none. His desire is to come and rest in us, but when he rests in us, we lose our rest. We become restless, anxious, and troubled about many things like Martha was. Now, if you're listening to this tape, or you're here tonight, let me ask you something. The area of your life, there's an area in your life, perhaps, where there is a recurrent, driven, compulsive activity or behavior, thought life, your emotions, where whatever it is, it doesn't yield to normal Christian disciplines. Maybe you've fasted, you prayed, but it doesn't go away. You continue to indulge. You feel trapped. You feel enslaved. You're tormented by the memory of it. Then, folks, I submit, it's a demon. Or it's a nest of demons. Usually a nest. And you need deliverance. And here's the good news. Jesus Christ died on the cross to cast out devils. Do y'all believe that? Jesus Christ died. He shed his blood. For 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he would destroy the works of the devil. He died. And anyone that would demean a ministry Jesus died for is a shame. He died to set you free. And if you are tormented in any way, driven, compulsive, there's a demonic spirit hidden inside of you, then seek deliverance. Get deliverance. We move in deliverance in this church. We're fixing to have a deliverance conference. Nothing else. Come to the conference. We do mass deliverance. Take authority. Command demons to come out as the anointing moves and the word of knowledge operates. Get those demons out of your soul. Now be warned. If you command a demon to leave, he will leave. Unless he's really deeply rooted and tied up with other ones, then you need somebody to lay hands on you. You usually need, first time, you almost always need somebody to lay hands on you. If your car battery's dead, you need somebody to drive their car up with jumper cables. Am I right? Get you, and then you can recharge. You usually need somebody to lay hands. If you've been demonized for years and tormented and tortured and got all kind of activity and hidden sin and all kind of stuff working through your personality and things you just kind of given over, figured, right, it's just an abnormality, it's just my way I am, it's the way my dad was, that's the way I am. If you just accept it, folks, you're deceived, man. You're a new creature in Christ. He promises life and life much more abundant. You can be delivered. And tell you what, when you walk out of here, the enemy is going to do all he can to whisper to you that I'm nuts. That's not true for you. That's why I showed it to you in the Word. Amen? It's in the Word. Let's pray. Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I've said my piece. Now come, Holy Ghost. Before we go home, you come. You say your piece now. You say your deal, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. You come in the room. I just welcome your presence. Come and speak to the saver. The enemy is defeated and crushed under our heel. All we got to do is call on the name of Jesus, humble ourselves, confess our sin, repent with all our heart, press into holiness and righteousness, and then take authority over these wicked things. Command them to go. Humble ourselves. Have our brothers and sisters pray for us. Operate under discernment of spirits. To know how to go and pull the layers out. Expose the strongholds of the nests. Like cleaning out spider webs out of a house, the corners. Lord, I pray for those here that they just become complacent with familiar spirits and satisfied and figure, well, I just have to hang on to this thing till I die.
I just will never achieve what I could. Lord, I pray in your mercy you convict him. Wake him up. That's a lie. You have wonderful things for us. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, let the truth be greater than the lie. Let reality of the spiritual realm, for we will all stand before you one day. We will all stand in your presence, and we will be held accountable for every choice, every notion, in fact, every thought we thought, every lie we believe. We'll be held accountable for all eternity. Lord, forgive us. Lord, we want to avail ourselves of all the blessings of which you died for. You died to save us, to heal us, to free us. Come, Holy Spirit. You speak. Let the word of God be true, and everything else be a lie. Your word is true, Lord. It sets us free. Boy, there's a spirit in the room. Feel that thing. Shantalomakan. Man, it's heavy. It is a heavy spirit, and I discern it. Now listen, I'm going to challenge you right now to humble yourself to Jesus, because I discern a big old thing in the room. Come on. Everybody in there, you go to Jesus right now, and you say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me my sin. You ask Jesus to forgive your sin, and you forgive the sins that you harbored against others. Come on. Let go of the bitterness and resentment and judgment and jealousy and pettiness. Let it go. Come on. Humble yourself to Jesus. We need some grace in the room. He gives grace to the humble. There's a big old fat spirit in the room. I can feel it. It's hovering. I want to throw this thing out of here. Jesus, come. Come, convicting power of the Holy Ghost. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the power of the holiness and righteousness that freaks demons out, Lord. Not us. We're just filthy rags, man. Oh, it's Jesus. Come, Jesus. Lord, we humble ourselves to you. Lord, we lay down our rights. We give up our sin. Right now, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to one. Right now, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to someone. You've been hanging on to sin. You've been thinking you can have it both ways. You can have some little Rottweiler puppy under your bed, feed it meat, and think it's never going to grow. And the Holy Ghost would say to you right now, you're deceived. That sin is going to bring a curse in your life. It's going to get bigger and worse. Repent of it tonight in Jesus' name. Right now, the Holy Spirit would say, turn from the sin. Say, Jesus, I turn from that sin. I put it at your feet and say this. Do whatever you got to do, Lord. Whatever it takes. Break the power of that sin in my life. Say that right now to Jesus. Whatever it takes. You break it, Jesus. I give you free will. Say this after me. Satan, you're a liar. I command you, all of your sin and perverted ways and deceptive ways and tormenting ways and enslaving ways, I command you to get out of my mind, of my emotions, of my spirit, of my soul, of my body, of my family, of my home, away from my job, away from everything I have, away from everything I want. I command you to flee in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. To resist the devil. Tell him you're sick of it. Lustful spirits, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Driven spirits, go in the name of Jesus. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power over these saints. Go. Passivity, go. Laziness, go. Complacency, go. Come on, take a deep breath. Thrust them out. Heaviness, go. I command you to go. I command you to go. Go. Thrust them out. Take a deep breath. Spirits come out as air. Take a deep breath. Thrust them out tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, come on. Come out of the saints. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ set you free. Come on, come on. There's an ugly spirit in the room. Come out, come out, come out. Be done with it. Be done with it. Pursue righteousness and holiness. Jesus cast out spirits. Don't be embarrassed. Let them go. Go, you foul race. You foul, putrid spirit. Go, you wicked spirit. Go. I command you to leave these saints. Go from their minds. Go in Jesus' name. Go, foul spirit. Go, sickening spirit. Go. Change you to go. Change you to go in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on. Come on, all of you. Father, send angels in the room. Lots and lots of angels. Grab these things. Pull them out. Come on. Come on. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come out. Lift the saints. Lift off my pinky power. I pinky power in Jesus' name.
More, more, Lord, more. Come, Holy Spirit. Come on. Sweep through this room, Lord. Sweep through this room. I want you to say this after me. Jesus Christ, you're my Lord and my God. You're my King. I surrender my rights to you. I surrender my time to you. I surrender my will to you. My money to you. My job. My relationships. My free time. What I do. Where I go. Who I go with. What I look at. What I watch. What I listen to. Jesus, I submitted to your authority tonight. Jesus, I want to be crucified with Christ tonight. Jesus, I choose to be crucified with Christ tonight. Come on, say that to Jesus.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.